Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Pram Karuna Pracho Jaya Nilo Prema Dana Karuna Pracho Eno Prabhu Kota Gela Chajatako Kahamora Swarupa Kaha sanata Kaha dasara gunata patita pava Kaha dasara gunata patita pava Kaha mora bata yuga Kaha kavira Yohamora bata yuga Kaha kavira Eka kale kota gela goranatara Pashane koti bomata Anole pasibo Kuhi bomata Anole pasibo Gauranga gunerani di kota gele prabho Gauranga gunerani di kota Jai koili lobila Se sambanda sangha sange Se sangha napaya kande narotamoda Anila prema dana karuna pracho ye anila prema dana karuna pracho Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur. Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur. Number one. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a personality as Srinivasacharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Sri Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga accompanied by all of these devotees, in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps. So I can't remember. Whoops, I just blew it. Oh, man. Let's see. After the passing of, or the disappearance of the Panchatattva, Narottam Das Thakur, they had a big festival, and they sang loud kirtan. And in that kirtan, the Panchatattva actually appeared. And from that appearance, of their reappearance of the Panchatattva, then they disappeared. And this was the song that was written in that mood. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, such as the personality of Srinivasacharya, is gone, etc. So we sing this song on the disappearance day of all the Vaishnavas in our lineage as a prayer. And one may question the lamentation. The song is even entitled Lamentation Due to Separation from the Lord and His Associates. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, Asochan anvasochastram pragnam vedam shabhashase gatasum agatasum cha nanu sov chanti panditaha, that a learned person does not lament over that which is living or dead. He doesn't lament. Just like if you see something alive and you see some suffering, we normally lament. We see somebody suffering, we think, oh, the poor soul. The Bhagavad Gita tells us no. Tells us not to lament because we understand that this person is under the care of Krishna's material energy and they're getting exactly to the T, I guess they say, exactly what they deserve and what they have earned by that particular body. So this lamentation is condemned in this Bhagavad Gita verse. But here we see a great devotee of the Lord, Narottam Das Thakur. He is crying in lamentation to the point where he says he'll smash his head against a rock or jump into fire. That's pretty much the emblem of separation. When you lose a loved one, you smash your head against a rock. You don't know what to do. What else do you do? You're in so much pain. Smashing your head against a rock doesn't feel any. You don't feel any pain. Or jumping into the fire, which I did as a teenager, but I won't. That's another story. The pain is so great that the separation is so great that even the pain of jumping into a fire feels insignificant. And this is a different type of lamentation. In one place, Srila Prabhupada has explained that lamentation means purification. That this lamentation that we feel in the material world, it purifies us. But if we get to the point where it overcomes us, then it becomes the mode of ignorance. There's a little lamentation is okay. Like you lose a loved one, okay, whatever. You know, time will cure that. The first few days it's painful, then it gets softer and softer and softer and it goes away. But too much lamentation is a sign of the mode of ignorance. But here, in the case of the Vaishnava, we're not so much lamenting the loss of the body, but the loss of the association that that body gave us, that spiritual association. We want that spiritual association. We're not so much interested in the material association. The material body is there. It's just like in the third canto, if you studied, it's described that one should not see the spiritual master as an ordinary personality that who eats and goes to the bathroom and does this and dresses and goes here and goes there and does this and does that. One should not see the spiritual master with those eyes. One should see the spiritual master as a spirit master, master of the spirit, and treat him in that way. So we treat them, these people, in this sense, and therefore when we lose that association, that type of association, that spiritual association, is greatly lamentable. Because so much guidance is given by great people. And you see that when some great personality comes to the Krishna house and gives direction and guidance, and then when he's not here, then you think, oh, boy, what a vacancy. The same way, when someone passes away, so much vacancy. And we've had so many Vaishnavas pass away in our society so far. And we feel great separation from them. In fact, one of my friends, Giriraj Swami, is writing a book about the passing away. He's calling it many moons, because Prabhupada made it. He said, I'd rather have one moon than many stars. I'd rather have one moon, you know, one, make one pure devotee than have many stars in the sky. So he had so many of Prabhupada's prominent disciples had passed away that he decided to write a book and entitle it Many Moons. And he's, it'll come out within the next year or so, and we'll have nice reading material of those devotees who served so nicely in the beginning of our society and sacrificed their lives to the point where they had, you know, either grown old and died, or they died by accident, or died by disease of some type. So this lamentation is there. This lamentation is there, and it's bona fide, and we have it on this day. We pray for the association of Jagannath Das Babaji. Jagannath Das Babaji, I'll read a little something that I have on my computer. It's not much. Not much is known about him. I thought that there was a book, Jagannath Das Babaji, and I couldn't find it. I think maybe it's Gaurakishore Das Babaji that there's a book on, not Jagannath Das Babaji. But I'll just read a little something on Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. Oh, that's pretty far out. This is like a Vaishnava calendar that tells you which days, 2 days before Ekadasi, it sends you an email and tells you in 2 days it's Ekadasi, so that you don't forget it's Ekadasi, and it tells you that in 2 days it's Jagannath Das Babaji's disappearance day. And they support it by getting donations and by advertising. And I just saw one of this devotee, Daniel Neighbors. I know this devotee. He's a CPA. And I said, oh, he's advertising on here. That's pretty cool. So now, actually, I gave him a $21 donation because I use it so much. I figured I could give him a little something. Okay, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was respected by all the Vaishnava community and was thus known as Vaishnava Sarvabhauma, or chief amongst the Vaishnavas. There are some nice stories connecting him with the finding of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth page recorded in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was born around the year 1800 A.D. They say 1750 to 1800. They don't really know exactly when he was born. I also looked it up in Wikipedia. Yeah, something like that. And they said sometime between 1750 and 1800. He spent many years in Vrindavan, where he became famous as a perfect devotee. though more than this is not known of his early years and pastimes. What we do know, however, is that he was particularly enthusiastic in serving the Lord's devotees and performing kirtan. In later life, his servant, Bihari Lal, used to carry him on his shoulders in a basket. It was described that he was 100 and some years old, and he was completely invalid. And so he had to be carried in a basket. They just put him in a basket, and he just carried him on his shoulders. And let's see here, I lost my place. Though when he would hear a kirtan or himself engaged in kirtan, his body would extend itself out of the basket like a beautiful banyan tree, and he would loudly shout, "Nittai ki nam eche rati nittai nam rad." Dichi Richi. "O Lord Nityananda, what a wonderful name you have brought. O Nityananda, what a wonderful name you have given." So he was quite a Nittai Bhakta, apparently. The stories which I will now relate are at the time when he was more than 120 years old. Living in a tent in Sri Navadvip with Bihari Lal, his servant, he would eat prasadam from a large brass plate which someone had given him as a donation. I cannot imagine living in Navadvip in a tent. I mean, I can because the devotees did it, but we had North Face tents, super mosquito screens, tents inside the tents and stuff like that. You had to be real tolerant and stuff like that. So anyway, he ate off a big brass plate which somebody had donated him. A litter of puppies which had taken birth nearby began to come and eat off Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's plate. But he did not object. After a few days, however, Bihari Lal saw what was happening and disgusted to see the dogs eat from the place of his guru's plate, he drove them away. Jagannath Das Babaji chastised Bihari Lal, saying, "If the dogs can't eat, I won't eat." His servant had to search out and bring back the puppies. And as they joined Babaji Maharaj again over his plate, he exclaimed, "All glories to the Dom dogs. The Dom dogs. Dom, of course, means the Holy Land. The dogs of the Holy Land." Uh-oh, now something is blocking my computer. Okay. Thus, he always displayed a great respect for all residents of the Holy Dom. On another occasion, he had his servants purchase 200 rupees worth of rasgullas and instructed him, "Feed them to the Dom cows, but do not give one of those rascal Sahaja Babaji's pretenders any rasgullas." Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was such a great devotee that the famous Bhaktivinod Thakur called him the commanding chief of the devotees. When Bhaktivinod Thakur was looking for the actual place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace was, he asked Jagannath Das Babaji to go with him. During the many changes of the course of the flow of the mighty Ganges River, some parts of the sacred dam of Navadvip, 9 islands, had changed. The Ganges had revealed old and lost places and reclaimed new ones. To his surprise, Bhaktivinod Thakur discovered that the modern-day city called Navadvip was not more than 100 years old and therefore wasn't the Navadvip of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Some said the birth site was on a place now in the Ganges. While some said it was in the city of Navadvip. Dissatisfied, Bhaktivinod pushed on looking. He found some antiquarian maps and government records, and authentic books written at the time of Lord Chaitanya, all of which agreed that Mayapur, Navadvip Dham, is situated on the east bank of the Ganges. See, Navadvip is on the west bank of the Ganges, and so the place where Lord Chaitanya was supposed to be is beyond the east bank of the Ganges. Bhaktivinoda's amazement, he found several large mounds covered with sacred tulsi plants on land owned by Mahamanans. It was shrouded with local rumors of strange lights and sounds, so the owner, believing it to be haunted, would not go there. Many old Babajis of the time, however, believed this to be the actual birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Convinced it was true, Bhaktivinoda, inspired by Jagannath Das Babaji, went there to the spot, and Jagannath Das Babaji being carried in his basket. Due to his old age, 120 years old, Sri Jagannath Das Babaji couldn't open his eyes, but he had to forcibly open them with his fingers. What to speak of walk? If he went anywhere, he was carried in a basket by Biharilal, but upon arriving in the transcendental state sight, he leaped out of the basket and danced in ecstasy, shouting Hari Bol and Gaurangi, definitely establishing it to be the same birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who is respected by the entire Vaishnav community and who discovered the place where Lord Chaitanya appeared. Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj had a disciple named Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj, and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was his disciple. However, at this time there was another great exponent of Vaishnav preaching. Vaishnav teachings that, on passing, we have already mentioned. His name was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and so the line again divides like this. Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhagavat Das Babaji, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and his disciples. So that's a little bit on Jagannath Das Babaji. That is all that I have. A couple of points to bring out. Number one, he was very enthusiastic to serve the Vaishnavas. This is a very important quality. I remember when I first joined the movement, we would readily serve each other very enthusiastically. We'd be ready. If someone was getting up, we would grab their plate. We'd fight over who got to wash the plate. And anyway, it was kind of like a comical routine, but to take the service of another Vaishnav is considered to be looked down upon, but to do service for another Vaishnav is looked up upon. So what do you do? You have to win the fight. So Jagannath Das Babaji was very enthusiastic to serve other Vaishnavas, and he was very much, I don't know if any of you get to go to India, but if you go to India, you have to take into consideration the Dhambasis, all the Dhambasis, all the people that are living, residing in the Dham. Jagannath Das Babaji wouldn't, he considered the dogs of the Dham to be elevated souls, what to speak of the others that lived there. But he didn't have very much respect for the Sahajas that lived there. You can see that. So he did make distinctions. It wasn't that he was a fool. He made distinctions. And anyway, I've met some Babajis. Not like Jagannath Das Babaji, but I met some Babajis in Vrindavan. They just sit and chant all day long. Pretty cool. So any questions? For their body, according to our understanding, they're not the body, so it's the person, it's the soul inside the body, but they don't know that. It's just like when I was about 12 or 13 years old, my grandfather was very, very sick. He had cancer. So I used to take care of him. He looked really bad. Then they finally had to go to the hospital. So then they came and they told me my grandfather died. And I said, I didn't really understand what it meant. I was like a kid. So they went to the funeral home to see him in the funeral home. And they put a suit and tie on him and everything and put him in the funeral home. And they put all this wax or whatever they put on the body. And he looked better in the coffin than he looked before he went to the hospital. I thought, what's wrong with him? You know, he looks better now than he did before. So, as I'm lunching, I couldn't be with him anymore. But it was just his material personality, not that he, of course he was giving me some good instructions, as a good grandfather, would give their grandson. He would tell me, the do's and don'ts and stuff like that. So there's some lamentation. Even we have the case of Arjun when Abhimanyu was killed. We were discussing that the other day with somebody. I can't remember who I was discussing that with. Is that you, Sanjay? Yeah. When Abhimanyu was killed on the battlefield unfairly, Arjun lamented. Nobody could even tell him. First of all, nobody wanted to tell him. Arjun had to kind of like guess what was going on. Finally, he was told that his son had been killed, and then he found out how unfairly he had been killed. He began to lament so much that he said, "I'll kill Jayadrath or I'll take my life by sundown tomorrow." So there's a case of lamentation for your... What do you think? Take a vote. All those in favor of it being material, raise your hand. All those in favor of being spiritual, raise your hand. All those who can't figure it out, raise your hand. Arjun was playing the part of an ordinary person. It was material, but it was also spiritual. There's both sides. Yes. Right. Yeah. It's just like, if you see somebody that's hungry, then we give them prasadam. We don't just take them down to McDonald's and buy them a Big Mac and increase their karma. We give them something special which they can benefit both spiritually and materially from. And there's a story of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur going on parikram. And parikram means going around the holy dhams and stuff like that. And every holy dham has a certain number of beggars that do it by profession. That's all they do. They sit there with a little cup and they beg. So everybody was passing them by and not giving him anything. And he chastised his grihastha disciples for not giving them something to help them, saying that they are dependent upon you and you are like the vices are the stomach, they're the support of the whole society. So he chastised them and said, no, you should give them a little something, not a lot, but a little something to help them out. So it's just like when I go to India, I always buy a big bag of peanuts. And then when the beggars come, I just give them peanuts. I offer the peanuts up and I just give them peanuts and stuff like that. And stuff. So the beggars can get something from me. You know. And then the old ladies and the that live in the dharmshalas, we give them blankets for the winter. When Prabhupada was ill, he had us pray a particular prayer. And we used to say it every day after Mangalartik, "Oh, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please let our spiritual master live on so that we can have his association." So, if Krishna desires. So, I remember one time one of my Guru Kul boys died in a car accident, and I gave a lecture at his funeral. And I said that the prayers of the devotees are heard by Krishna. So when we pray as devotees to Krishna, as devotees of Krishna to Krishna, Krishna hears, and we can pray, please, you know, be merciful on this Vaishnav because he's done so much, and you know, please show him extra care and attention and stuff like that. And if one has compassion for all living entities, you know, he doesn't distinguish so much. Yes, he has that quality. Yeah, Derek. Yeah, Rasgulla. Well, the people on the road, they're not sahajas. The sahajas, they hang in a special place. They're doing something. They're living at Radhakund. They're breathing the dust. I remember one story. I had a group of guru coolies, and one of the guru coolies stepped in monkey stool. We were doing Radhakund Parikram, and he stepped in monkey stool or dog stool or something like that. And he was like a real fussy type devotee, and he got stool on his, and he was having a, you know, real slick dhoti on and real slick kurta, you know. He's like, really, because he was really, it got the Vrindavan and the stuff was really clean. He goes, oh no, I got stuff, help me clean it out. So the Babaji's came and they ran the tap and they helped him clean the monkey stool off his foot. So, and I was a long ways away, and I heard it. And by the time I got there, I was thinking, oh my God, you know, these Babaji's are cleaning his feet. It's like unbelievable, you know. So they're not ordinary when it came down to that point. You know, they weren't ordinary. It came down to that point. You had a question, Ali? I'm kind of like missing I'm missing the essence of the question. Yeah, in other words, his relationship, yeah, right, yeah. A friendship within their community, yeah. I would say they would have lamentation. I mean, I lamented a little bit when my family passed away. It wasn't a heavy experience for me, but it was like but mine was more expected. Both my parents passed away from cancer. My grandfather passed away from cancer. Like a long, drawn-out, you know, process. We knew that on a certain day, within a few months, they would be gone. So, the lamentation started, you know, while they're still alive, so it's a more gentle thing. I know when Tamal Krishnamurti passed away, it was a very heavy experience for me because we were very close friends. And of course, when Prabhupada passed away, it was a devastating day. Everybody remembers what we were doing when Prabhupada passed away, and we had to. I mean, the next day was like weird because we had to have a big feast for Prabhupada's disappearance day, and we didn't go out in Sankirtan, and that was even more weird because you had to just sit around the house all day long, not doing anything besides cutting a few vegetables. Nothing personal, Gopal. After the disappearance of our spiritual master, so it was quite a difficult situation. But I would say, like, say for example, a person like Brahmatirtha, who works in the secular world and has many friends. You know, he has many friends out there that he works with, and you know, what do you call them, colleagues? You know, if one of his colleagues dies, in fact, one of his colleagues is dying, there would be a certain amount of, you know, sadness. You know, poor guy, he's got cancer, he's going to go, you know, poor guy. You know, that's there, it's natural, you can't. I wish I remember. There's a nice description of this in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. I'd like to read it, but I can't. I'd have to run upstairs and get the volume and figure it out. But I'd have to figure it out. And there's a prayers of Queen Kunti, and there's a prayer in there where Queen Kunti prays to Krishna, please break my attachments to my family, and let my mind and conscience flow towards you like the Ganges flows. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that this family affection is so strong, and this love that we have is part and parcel of the living entity because we love Krishna. We automatically love, that love is perverted in the material world, but it's still there. It's Prabhupada said the closest thing is the love between the mother and the child or something like that. So Prabhupada said that these relationships, they can't be broken. They can't be... Oh, man, I wish I had the book. Anybody know that shloka, the Ganges? I mean, I used to know that verse many, many years ago. Anyway. No, it's in the third canto. I mean, first canto, prayers of Queen Kunti. The gist of it is, he says, the only thing you can do is Krishnize it. You want to give the best thing you can. But basically, he says that the only thing you can do is utilize it use them in the service of Krishna. You see? And, sometimes just being, you know, just like last night I was talking with some devotees and we were mentioning that good qualities of a devotee. Like one time, I'll mention my good qualities just as an example. One time, you know, Amarendra. Yeah, Amarendra used to be the temple president here when I joined. So he was living, he was a lawyer, he's a lawyer now, and he's living in LA at the time, right across the street, and it was Rath Yatra time. Huh? 1842. Open it up and see if it's there. Look at the purport. Okay, yeah, go back down, that's off a little bit here. Desire cannot be negated, but by devotional service, the desire is changed only for the service of the Lord. Desires, the so-called affection for family, society, and etc. consists of different phases of sense gratification. When desire changes sense gratification, it's called devotional service. The symptom of life is such that desire, anger, and hankerings, attraction, and feeling cannot be annihilated. These feelings, they can't be given up. They're there. They're natural. They're feelings of affection. You know, they're just automatically there. So we have affection for friends, we have affection for family, affection for, you know, our dog or whatever. You know, it's automatic, you know, it just happens. It's the nature. The objective has to be changed. So then we change it to devotional service by engaging them in the service of Krishna. Just like my parents were very objectional to devotional service. They didn't like the fact that I was a devotee, and I would send them cookies and stuff in the mail, and they would never eat it because they knew it was offered to Krishna. And I'd always ask them, did you get the cookies? My mother would say, oh, they're all moldy. We had to throw them away. And I would say, you know, how long does it take a cookie to mold? You know, I send it express mail. My God, give me a break, you know. So after about 7 years, I was invited back to my house for the first time. That's a long story how that happened. And I had a picture of Prabhupada in my car, so I just took went and bought a bag of pistachios, put them on the picture of the car, and said, Prabhupada, please make this the most potent offering that I've ever offered in my life, because I want my parents to get some benefit here, you know? So I prayed the prasadam prayers, and I went into the house with a bag of pistachios, didn't open them up, just set them on the table. Pretty soon somebody opens them up, and pretty soon they're all eating them, and I'm sitting there thinking, yes, I finally got it. Yeah. So that and change, you know, when you love somebody, then you want to give them the very best thing. If I say I love you and then I give you poison, what is the value of that love? So if we love our spouse, we love our friends, we love our children. We love this, we love that. Then we have to give them the very best thing, and the very best thing is Krishna. And then how to give them the very best thing, that will vary according to time, place, and circumstance. Just like Brahmatirtha told me, he never preached to his wife. When he after he met the devotees and became a devotee, he never preached to his wife because he let the other devotees preach to his wife because he figured it would be better than coming from him. Hot? So, yeah. We have to just change it. I really like that purport. The purport's very good. Perfection of pure devotion and service is attained when all attention is diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut off the ties of others' affection does not mean the complete negation of the finer elements. This is a misconception that we had in the beginning of Krishna consciousness. It was just slice and dice, and that was it, you know. And one thing we had was no elders in the movement. I'll give an example. Like when I was living here years ago and managing the center, we had one bhakta here, and he was talking to his mother on the phone. And he was talking to her in an impolite way, you know, very impolite. And I said, Bhakta Zui, or whatever his name was, to protect that person. So I said, just hold the conversation a second. He goes, what, Maharaj? I said, just hold it a second. So he said, Mom, just a second, I gotta. So then I said, you have to be nice to your mother. I just told him, you have to be nice to her. You can't treat your mother like that. You can't treat your mother in an improper way. You know, even though she may be inimical, you don't have to break the regulative principles. You don't have to stop chanting Hare Krishna. You don't have to move out of Krishna house. But you have to at least be polite. You know, be polite to your mother. So then he got on the phone and said, okay, Mom, I'm sorry. And the whole conversation changed. When I was a devotee, there was no elders in the room to tell them to do that. And you know, you had to have somebody accompany you when you called your parents, because just in case you know, you have some contaminating, you know, information that might come through that might cause you to get, you know, like a little lamentation, and that lamentation may take you over, and then you'll bloop and become a karmi in the material world again. You know, so but this does just the opposite. Prabhupada's books say just the opposite. Prabhupada's book says the perfection of the devotional service is attained when all attentions are diverted towards the transcendental loving service of the Lord. To cut the tie of all other affection does not mean to complete negation of the finer elements, like affection for someone else. We have affection, but we use that affection in Krishna service. Give them Krishna consciousness. Living being, whoever we may be, must have these feelings of affection for others, because this is a symptom of life. If we don't have that, then we're like a dead stone. We're like a zombie. What does Rupa Goswami say? What is the first instruction of Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction? Controlling. Vachu vegam manasakurda vegam jiva vegam utara pasta vegam. He says that one who can control the urge, he doesn't say one who does not have the urge, he says one who can control the urge of anger, vacho vegam, manaso, the pushings of the tongue. The tongue wants to talk. You know, I sit up there in the room and I know everybody likes to talk. Boy, they cackle down there like a, you think it was a chicken house rather than a bunch of. But they're talking about Krishna, you know, they're talking about this about Krishna, that about Krishna. But anyway, it doesn't bother me. I'm up there just reading, so it's okay. So you want to talk, so we talk about Krishna. Vacho vega mana, the mind is just like, it's like unbelievable. Everybody smiles because they know their mind is just, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just, it's almost like it's like an entity of its on its own, you know, just like, you know, I always give the example. And when the mind agitates you, it's like when I don't know if they have it anymore because I don't get them anymore. When we were kids, we used to get these obscene phone calls where the phone would ring, you pick it up, and some guy would be like, beep, 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 you know, just like, you know. And what would you do? It was called an obscene phone call, you know. And you just hang it up, you know. And so when the mind starts going beep, 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 you just hang the thing up, just give it. The mind is just, if I were to come to you and say, it's a great idea, let's go have some illicit sex and drugs and do this and do that, you'd think, Marge, you're really crazy. Come on, forget it. We're not going to do that. But if our mind tells us to do it, you think, yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea, yeah? I can think about that for a while. Yeah, I can think about that. Let's talk about it. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good idea, That sounds like a pretty good idea. So we have these dichotomies, and they're there. But you can, I posted this in the Latin newsletter when I read this one time. Very, very important verse. So now we go on spring break. I hope everybody has a good time. I won't see you when you come back. I'll be gone.
Thank you.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Happy spring breaking to you.